Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much. Hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always, and we got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. Bill Glenn is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Billy is a founder of a company called Collective IQ. He's a venture capitalist, and he's been an entrepreneur for a number of decades. He's also the author of a book called Left on Red. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's our good friend. Bill Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you back, Bill. A lot of things in the news since you were here last time. 3 years ago, a little more than 3 years ago, in January 2006, as I prepared my predictions that year, one of them was that General Motors would go bankrupt. Turns out my prophecy was right on, but my timing wasn't. And what do you think about what happened Monday? With
the hello, Jim.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead. What do you think about the bankruptcy of General Motors?
Well, the United States of America, if you look at its core, is a consumption economy. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as a manufacturing economy and a variety of other things, which we are to a lesser extent. But really, as a consumption economy, if people won't or can't buy cars, I'm talking about tens of millions of families.
Right.
I don't see how the auto industry could have survived in its present state. Auto sales, you know, being down 50, 30%, whatever the number is. I mean, that is devastating to the industry itself.
You're
manufacturing cars. You're pushing them out to lots. The lots can't move the cars because, again, people are absolutely hobbled. So I think, the bankruptcies were going to occur. Lucky Ford avoided it. And GM is a massive bankruptcy. Chrysler, as they say, went through a surgical bankruptcy. But if it wasn't for Fiat, I mean, they would have been left out hanging dry.
Probably gone into Chapter 7.
Absolutely, and I think, you're seeing the liquidation of assets across the board of these big companies, and, you know, a bankruptcy laying off, more than 20,000 people, those people aren't just going to be underemployed, they're almost going to be unemployable, because
right.
In those towns, I doubt, some of those people could even get a job as a barber. There's just no business in their towns. So you'll see all these ghosts walking around that just cannot get a job in the future.
Well, that's what I'm worried about with regard to the Chrysler and GM. Even though the stock market surged on the day that this 101-year-old company collapsed, we haven't seen the effects of that on Main Street yet, because you've got all these mechanics. You got all these car salesmen and saleswomen. You got all these people in these dealers who are not going to make it, because bankruptcy, as you know, is the one thing that disconnected the automobile companies from their dealers. That was the one thing that could render the franchises null and void. And so you got thousands of people across America, as you say, who are not going to have a job. That hasn't taken its toll on the economy yet.
Oh, definitely not. And the suppliers, the auto industry touches about one out of five jobs in the United States of America.
Yep.
Up and down the suppliers, down to the distributors, as you said. I mean, it is devastating for sure, not just to the workers, but also to the brands of the companies. And as far
right.
as the stock market surging, I mean, it's up and down like a bungee cord all the time.
Right.
And,
right.
I'm feeling a bear market. I feel like people are going to start taking out of the market, and it's going to swing downward and upward and downward, and it's all over the place. But remember, people are still off, 30-40% of their portfolios, and you're talking about retirees as well.
Right.
I mean, we're already.
What, What do you think about the government's involvement in GM and Chrysler?
Well, put it this way. In this particular time in history, the United States of America, and only a government could do this, had to step into the financial institution. As you say, the bubble just burst, but what happened was all the worlds around, you know, all the nations around the world, and certainly the banks, were so exposed to rolling over their debt through securitization of the mortgages that they got caught. They couldn't forwardly refinance all that debt on their books and those collateralized mortgage obligations they bought. Now think of this, and this is horrifying. You know, you have our Treasury Secretary on the heels of Hillary Clinton over to China. Now, you put that together, and it's apparent that our government has to sell more debt, roll over its debt, or our culture will be in jeopardy.
Well, you're right about that. Of course, I hear a lot of experts say that that China, you know, really doesn't have anywhere else to go besides the United States. But if they, when they ever get another option, whenever they have another option, then I think we've got. I think you're right. We've got some challenges. So how do we get out of this? How do we become less dependent upon others? Is this just going to take a long, slow workout with Americans becoming more prudent in their spending, less of a big spending consumer, and if so, is that going to change our lifestyle? What do you think?
Oh, it's absolutely it's already happening and will continue to happen. Think of this: foreclosure, bankruptcy, 30, 60, 90, 120 day late. You go across tens of millions of American families, and that's their situation. So those consumers, and again, supporting a consumption economy. And I'm not just talking about on-demand deals. I'm talking about airlines, every service, and every type of product. Well, those people are out of the market for several years, and they can't come back to support all this American industry. And as for China, China has other places to go, you know, owning almost $700 billion of our debt. And I see no spending curbs in sight in Washington, D.C. All I see is they're throwing money at these problems. And think of this also. We're borrowing money to invest in GM. That's like a margin account.
That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Bill. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to see if I can find something that Bill's positive about. I bet there's one or two things in there. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. We got lots of stuff there, archives, articles, my Brain Trust members. My blog is there. My newsletter is there. I hope you'll subscribe to that. My knowledge base, lots and lots of stuff. And by the way, the last blog post I made was what I called How General Motors Bankruptcy Could Become a Cautionary Tale for Small Business Owners. And so I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. Bill Glenn is our guest. He's an author, an entrepreneur, and a wise man. His book is called Left on Red. Bill, tell us how we can find you online, how we can find your book.
BillyG.net. I think people would enjoy IOUSA, not. Of course, it's a takeoff of IOUSA, the short film and book, but I think, you know, they can click on that, download it, read some of the solutions, some of the positive things we can do for the economy. I hope it's interesting to everybody.
Well, talk about some of those positive things. In the previous segment, you know, we ran through a list of some of the realities that we're facing, and they're not, some of the realities we have right now are not too pretty. What do you see in a positive way, and what kind of advice do you have for small business owners?
Well, in a positive way, let me just give you a solution for the automotive sector. I believe the automotive sector has been hobbled by unions for a long period of time. They have these huge manufacturing operations, and I think across many industries, manufacturers could consider taking those manufacturing assets, and let's call it Auto Manufacturing USA or textile manufacturing. If we took those assets, liberated them off the balance sheets of these big corporations, put them into one company, of course, the company has an opportunity to go public, but that company could much, much better streamline all the operations of manufacturing, you know, try to go green as the administration is saying to do now.
Right.
And those manufacturing operations could be tooled to produce every type of car. And now you have the auto industry in finance, research and development, marketing and distribution, and talk about streamlining and making the auto industry better. I think that is a real solution.
So what you're saying is, if I understand what you're saying in this with this new life that, that they will have, there will be a new co, as the bankruptcy folks call it, in this brand spanking new company that will emerge out of bankruptcy. Hopefully, for example, let's just use GM. You're saying don't just go back to a new life doing the old things. You're saying start out doing something that's going to be 21st century.
Yeah, something radical. And I think it applies to industries that are producing goods. I think these large companies having rolled up and, you know, bought all these brands, and you see them, what's called the bundling those brands now,
right.
And foreign companies are taking them over like crazy. So, again, a large part of their expense and a large part of even the workforce is on their balance sheet and their profit and loss statement perpetually. Why wouldn't they consider working with their competitors and creating this really dynamic manufacturing company and call it beer or textiles or soda, whatever it is? I think these companies should consider working with their competition to streamline all
right.
that.
Well, one of the things that I think the automobile industry, the American automobile industry, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, should do is listen to me on one thing that I've been saying to my small business audience, Bill, and that is, in the 21st century, it's okay to fall in love with what you do. It's okay to make something that helps people get around, like an automobile, but it's not okay to fall in love with how you do it. You're not going to be able to be in the automobile industry in the 21st century with a 20th century model. What do you think?
Absolutely, and I think, yeah, if you look at foreigners, let's look at the auto industry again. I mean, the average auto worker is making around $60,000 a year. So a lot of them, of course, are making a lot more. How can you compete in selling cars at a competitive rate when your margins are much lower because you carry the burden of an extra, you know, let's call it $50,000 per worker? I mean,
yeah.
That's considerable when you add it all up.
It's prohibitive.
It is prohibitive. And again, you know, a way to do that is to consolidate a lot of these operations and unions. You want to protect jobs, and you want to not terrify. I mean, think of this. Think of the auto workers, even the small businesses that deal with with the automotive companies. People are probably terrified right now, and that is a bad place to be, not just mentally, but also from a business perspective. If you're
right.
scared, really scared, it's very hard to run a business.
Talk to us, in the minute we have left, what advice do you have for small businesses?
Well, one, I think that small business, again, has to look at their marketplace. And their marketplace, of course, in many areas is just, you know, devastated. And the people that can't buy because they're over-leveraged on credit or their credit's destroyed, that is a target market that people should consider working with and potentially getting them into stores and saying, you know, I'm a small business and I can afford a 30-day leeway on some of your product or a 60-day, just like these big companies do. Just to
right.
get the consumers in their doors because they can't compete with these,
right.
You know, mega retailers and others. It's very challenging, but everybody, the small business is getting hit real hard. They've got to consider other options in order to get their products and services into the market. Or
it's definitely a new world, Billy. And I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Bill Glenn, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.